We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking with our guests from NBAF, Dr. Sarah Ziegler, Dr. Ken Burton, Katie Pulaski joining us here this morning. We're going to go to the phone lines now, and I understand Paul is waiting by, standing by here. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is a fairly detailed question, and I'm not trying to sharpshoot anyone. I've been here since they talked about having NBAF here, and we worked real hard to get it. Texas wanted it, as you all well know. It's here now. It's built. My main question is, when will it be fully operational? It's been a moving target that each time I hear somebody call in, it's being extended. And another thing is, the people in this area were promised there'd be a lot of people moving here from Plum Island and buying houses. Houses were built in respect to that. And some of those homes are still for sale, and the contractors are having a heck of a time keeping them from being repoed. So it's put a lot of people in a lot of bad spots. I'm not blaming you people. You're doing a great job. And I thank you all for being here and moving here from Texas. We need a lot of good people here. And I think you all fit the bill. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well, Dr. Burton, do you want to tackle that one possibly?
Sure. And Katie and Sarah can jump in, you know, if they have some things they'd like to add. But, yeah, those are definitely questions that we've been asked. As far as the operational piece, it probably does appear that it's been somewhat of a moving target. But actually what has happened is, as we've worked with the Department of Homeland Security, we've been able to do some things with the construction that rather than USDA moving in and then having to have construction going on around us, we've been able to accomplish some construction first that allows us to bring in equipment that has upgraded technologically from 2012 to now so that it keeps us using the most current and high-tech equipment at NBAF that we potentially could. So that's what's going on right now is, there's some construction modifications to some of the laboratories that will allow this equipment to move in. And then, as Sarah said, what we have been able to do is rather than a full move-in all at once set to a date, we're doing a phased transition. And so we'll continue to see more and more USDA employees move in, and that includes our scientists. You know, I think originally the impression was that everybody was going to be moving to Manhattan and the Flint Hills region all at once. And the reality is that we've seen a steady move of people into the community, and that'll continue and actually will even grow over the next couple of years until we are fully operational. So, you know, I realize that it's hard to draw a specific point on the calendar and say this is when NBAF will be fully operational, but as those things move forward, it's really subtle, but we're still seeing those advancements going forward.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you for the question there, and we'll continue on. Dr. Burton, the leadership team has really grown over the last year. What are they doing to integrate employees from Plum Island and many other areas into one cohesive team?
Great question, Brandon, and you're correct. Our leadership team, kind of, you know, to follow up on the caller's question, you know, our leadership teams have grown. So both here in Manhattan as well as on Plum Island, and those teams on Plum Island will eventually transition here to Manhattan. But as a leadership team, we're working really hard to build a solid bond between our scientists and their administrative staff at Plum and our operational staff here in Manhattan. So our virtual onboarding process has been really important. It emphasizes to new employees the various opportunities within NBAF to get involved. Things like we just finished the wellness challenge, special emphasis programs, and diversity presentations. And so all of these programs are coordinated by our acronym is NICE. It's our NICE group, but it's the NBAF Council on Engagement. And so they are, you know, really active in creating opportunities for our employees. So between Plum and MBATH specifically, we've had lunch and learn programs that share scientific programs from Plum with our operational teams, and our operational teams share what we're doing here at MBATH to build an awareness between the two groups on how we're going to interact when everybody comes to MBATH. And actually, those virtual lunch and learns have also shared a lot of the great things that the Manhattan community and Flint Hills region have to offer for those that look forward to moving to MBATH. We just instituted a new weekly one MBATH virtual meeting between scientific staff and our operational staff, between both APHIS and ARS, the two agencies at MBATH for USDA. And they're guided discussions that are centered around specific topics that allow each group to discover and better understand how we're going to interact to accomplish the MBATH mission. So knowing that we'll be soon moving back into a face-to-face work environment, we've also scheduled some training on what to expect and how our workforce can better transition back into the facility and away from the maximum telework that we've been on for about the last year and a half, I guess it is. So, and then also, once again, when we can begin traveling, we want to get people out to Plum Island to get face-to-face introductions, but more importantly, bring those from Plum Island here to Manhattan so that they can get a feel for the community and get excited about moving here to MBATH.
Yeah, I know so many people are looking forward to getting back to face-to-face, and I'm sure you guys are no different here and just waiting on guidance here from the top. You know, with a new federal holiday recently established and 4th of July just around the corner, how are MBATH's employees celebrating these summer federal holidays?
I think mostly just enjoying some time off, kind of like everybody. Planning for the operational stand-up at MBATH is a continuous process, and it's really intense. So a break from the day-to-day, going to let our employees enjoy family and as we all should, reflect on the importance of the freedom that we enjoy here in the U.S. We've tried to share with those that are new to this area some of the great 4th of July traditions and celebrations that go on in the area over the next few days, so they'll have a chance to participate in those. And we really try to get people to understand that it's so easy to get wrapped up in the day-to-day challenges that we always want them to try and take a minute to remind themselves that what MBATH's really going to mean to the U.S. Our employees are critical to the success of moving a very important agricultural research program from Long Island to Manhattan, Kansas. And, you know, Plum Island Animal Disease Center has been in existence since 1954. So standing up a facility with the capability that MBATH's going to have has never really been done before at this level in the U.S. And there's only four other facilities in the world that has these same capabilities that MBATH will have. So we remind them that no matter how hectic things get, our focus and our mission is really to do the best job possible in making sure we establish a safe and secure facility that addresses the critical needs in the U.S. for a research that can, you know, do this type of, or a facility that can do this type of research in the United States. And the importance that, you know, if these diseases were introduced into the United States livestock industry from another country or from outside the borders of the U.S., you know, it could be devastating to our food supply. And if it was zoonotic or could be spread to humans from animals, it could affect our public health. So we're really very fortunate, Brandon, to have the quality of employees that we have working at MBATH, and appreciate them having the chance to celebrate the 4th of July and take a little time off.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good to hear. Katie, how many MBATH employees are new to federal employment?
Yeah, Brandon, we have a really neat mix of long-term federal employees, veterans, as well as employees coming from private industry at MBATH so far. So what's great about that is that the wide variety of perspectives and experiences that our team members are bringing to each situation. So looking at specific numbers, according to our last employee survey, about 56% of our employees say they were new to federal service when they started at MBATH. And so that's a lot. And being one of them myself, I can tell you it's definitely been a learning experience. that I've relied heavily on our colleagues at MBAF as well as our USDA colleagues across the country who have served in the federal government for quite some time. And they've been really supportive. I know Dr. Burton and I have mentioned before that we also have a lot of veterans on our staff. More than 44% of our team said they were veterans in this survey, and then with 28% of them saying they retired with more than 20 years of service. And then another statistic we're excited about is that a little under half of our team has the potential to serve more than 20 years at MBAS. And so that means these team members have a really unique opportunity to continuously build on all the training that Dr. Ziegler was talking about, to learn from others and to keep pushing to improve on all of our plans and processes.
Okay. We have another caller here standing by with a question or a comment, so I want to squeeze them in here real quick. Go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Hi. I was calling to find out what your water and wastewater processes are going to look like.
Sarah, would you want to take that one?
Sure. So MBAF actually has its own wastewater pretreatment plant. So we will be processing our waste multiple times on site. And then it'll be just a couple steps away from being drinking water before it is sent to the city of Manhattan for our wastewater.
All right. Hopefully we got that answered for you there. One last question here for Katie, and then we'll wrap things up here. Katie, between advertising open positions at NBAF and dealing with concerns in social media, your communications need to be broad. How do you manage that?
Yeah, really good question, Brandon. So our biggest focus right now is utilizing various outlets, so outreach, social media, print, radio, TV media, to reach as many people as we can just to communicate the what and the why. So what is MBAF? And why do we need this $1.25 billion facility? So of course, another important element is sharing information about our safety and security efforts so that our neighbors, our staff, and the nation can feel comfortable and confident about the work we'll be doing at the facility. So we also push a lot of information out on social media. As I've mentioned before, we have a Twitter and a LinkedIn account about job openings. And we also communicate those job openings to various regional stakeholders who've shown an interest in helping us spread the word about open positions and get folks to be excited to move here to this area. So on the outreach side, in the last 3 months, we've been able to start ramping up our outreach efforts again, which is exciting. We're seeing interest in MBAF not only in the region, but also in our neighboring states and even across the country. So some are reaching out to us directly for information, and then we're also proactively reaching out to organizations that have a stake in our agriculture to make sure they know we're here as a source of accurate information. So I know I mentioned this a lot, but we're really unique in that we have a communications team that's here to help organize these efforts and be present virtually now, but for the most part, but hopefully it's soon in person too. And we want to stay busy. So we certainly welcome all inquiries from organizations that are interested in having us present accurate information about MBAF goals and purpose. And just as a reminder, those requests can be sent to our email at mbafnbaf@usda.gov.
All right. All important. That's good information there. Because it's good to stay educated and avoid the misinformation. There's a lot of The internet's so massive, and there's so much information you can go seek out, but you want to make sure you're getting the right information here and from the source.
Spot on, Brandon. Definitely making sure you're checking multiple sources and really getting to the main source of the information is really important.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time here for the NBAF segment here, but we really appreciate all of our guests here. Katie, Dr. Burton and Dr. Ziegler, thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good one.
You bet. More In Focus after this here on News Radio KMAN.